Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is from Psalm 118, verses 19 to 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. In the musical The Music Man, the people of the village sing for joy, literally sing and dance around in the streets, when a wagon bearing the name Wells Fargo rolls into town. I don't know what it's like to receive a package on the Wells Fargo wagon. Never did it myself. Don't think you can do that anymore. Certainly, though, I do know the excitement of a package coming or of a person arriving to come. I remember as a little kid being pretty excited when certain of our friends arrived at the house for a visit. In our text, of course, someone far, far greater, something far, far better has arrived, and the people shout for joy. Not only in our text, but in our gospel reading this morning, we see the people shouting for joy at the arrival of their King, the Lord Jesus Christ. They sing out the very verses of our text, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Now the Hebrew word Hosanna is Hosea with a na ending. So it's Hosanna. And that na ending in the Hebrew is like an exclamation point. But the word Hosea is the name Jesus. It's the Hebrew name Jesus. And it means, just like they say, save us, Savior. So they were literally shouting out the name of Jesus as he arrived. They were excited for his coming. They were excited and joyful for his arrival. But why? What had Jesus come to do? Why were they? We also were excited, weren't we? We also just sang the same thing, Hosanna in the highest, shouting out the name of Jesus in joy with an exclamation point. Oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, save us. Shouting out his name with joy as he enters, but for what reason? What is it that he came to do? Our Lord enters. Our Lord enters the city of David. Our Lord enters the city of God. And he enters, as Psalm 118 tells us, to open the gates of righteousness. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. In days of old, of course, cities and towers and fortresses and castles were built to protect the people from the enemies. And when the enemy was coming, the people would run to the city. And if it was a German city, and the French were attacking them, well, then if you're German, you can enter in. But if you're French, no, you can't. You got to make sure to get there soon enough, right, while the gates are still open. In our text, the psalmist is left outside, isn't he? He can't go in. He says, open to me the gates of righteousness. The psalmist comes to the city of God, but the gates are shut tight. And no one can enter. No one can open them. These are the gates of righteousness. That is to say, they are the gates through which only the righteous can enter. The psalmist cannot enter them, neither can we. Therefore, he prays. He calls out, open for me the gate of righteousness. Don't leave me outside in the evilness of this world. Let me enter the city of God. The psalmist can't open them, can't open those gates, and we can't open those gates. But here comes one who can. Our Lord, our Savior, the King comes. The Lord has come, Jesus has come, in order to open the gates of righteousness, in order to open the gates to the city of God, so that he has come to enter into those open gates, but also so that we may enter in. He can because he is righteous. The last verse of our text reminds us, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This is the righteousness of our Savior, that his mercy endures forever. This is the goodness of our Lord, that his mercy endures forever. The mercy of a man does not endure forever. The mercy of a man does not last very long at all. Sometimes, and maybe even often, men do good, but that goodness only lasts as long as others are good to them, doesn't it? As soon as they do good expecting thanks in return, and if they don't get the thanks in return, they stop doing it. Or they do good, and then the people they're doing good for maybe even abuse them, maybe even make fun of them, maybe even do something bad to them. And how long does a man continue to do what is good, to continue to help out another, if that other person is mistreating you, or if you feel like the other person is mistreating you? Not very long. Even if you abide by that evilness of others, even if you continue doing good for a short while, even when they're being evil for you, it still doesn't last very long. This shows us how sad, how little the righteousness of man is. It shows us that man isn't good at all, because he does good only to receive thanks, only to receive praise, only to receive good back. And if he doesn't receive it, he very quickly stops doing it. Therefore, what does Isaiah remind us? Isaiah, for this very reason, reminds us all of their right, even their greatest good deeds are like dirty rags, because they are only done for selfish reasons. But not so with the Lord. The Lord's mercy endures forever. He does not stop providing for us just because we are evil to him. We see this even today on Palm Sunday, don't we? Because here the Jews were crowding the streets, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And yet, 4 or 5 days later, they're crying out, crucify him, crucify him. But the Lord's mercy endures. The Lord's mercy endures even when the Jewish leaders rebuke him. The Lord's mercy endures even when the Jews choose Barabbas. The Lord's mercy endures even when they strip him and strike him and put a crown of thorns on his head and mock him. The Lord's mercy endures even as they cry out, crucify him, even as they nail him to the cross. The Lord's mercy endures despite all the evilness of men. The Lord's mercy endures forever. Therefore, his righteousness is true righteousness. Therefore, he is able to open the gates of righteousness, to open the way to the city of God and enter in. Not only himself, but open the way for us to enter in. Because his mercy endures forever. Because his righteousness is a true righteousness. He comes to open the gates of righteousness. He comes also to build the city of God. What does our text tells us? Verses 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In years past, when men wished to build a wall or a city or a house, they would pick stones, right? And they would bring the stones, and they would pile the stones one upon another, and they would choose the stones that best fit. And they would move it around until it fit in the right spot, and then the next stone they would move to fit into that spot. And if the next stone didn't fit right, they might set it aside and pick a different stone and stack them one on top of another in such a way that they fit together. In fact, the temple of Solomon was so well built in that manner that we were told that there was never any hammer, never any sound when that temple was being built. All the stones were fashioned before they were brought to the building site to be just perfectly right to fit in just the right spot. So they might set aside a stone for a little bit until there was just the right spot for that stone to fit into. But maybe there was a stone where they kept trying and they kept turning it, and no matter how they put it in there, no matter how many times they tried, it never fit. Or it stuck out too far, like a sore thumb, right? And eventually that stone would get set aside, and eventually that stone would get thrown away. It didn't work. It didn't fit with the rest of the building. So it was on Palm Sunday. Jesus, we are told, is the stone which the builders rejected, and yet it is this stone which the Lord has chosen. Jesus was rejected by the chief priests and the elders and even the Jews and the nation itself. They couldn't find a place for him in their life, in their theology, in their nation. He not only did he not fit, but he stuck out so much that they decided they needed to get rid of him altogether. It wasn't going to work. The nation they were building, the people they were building, there was no place for Jesus in that building. And yet this stone, this one that they rejected, God chose not just to have a place in the wall, but to be the foundation, to be the cornerstone on which his city is built. This is the chief's cornerstone, and it is the Lord's doing. So often, too, Jesus doesn't always fit into our life, does it? We have a comfortable life, we have friends, we have a job, and we have a tendency to try and fit Jesus in on the edges. We have a tendency to kind of set him aside until there's a nice place for him. I'll talk about Jesus, you know, if he comes up. I'll pray and worship. I'll go to church if I have time. We have this tendency to try and fit Jesus in. Jesus doesn't fit in. It's never going to work. If we try and build our lives first the way we want and then try and stick Jesus in, he's going to get thrown away. He's going to get rejected. He's going to stick out. But the Lord has chosen him as the chief cornerstone, as a cornerstone upon which the Lord is going to build his city. Notice what the psalmist says. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. So the psalmist views two cities, right? The city built by man, in which Christ doesn't fit, and the city built by God. This is the Lord's doing. He's the one who built this city. And in this city, Christ is the foundation, the cornerstone. So it must be for our life as well. We can't try and fit Jesus into our lives. That's never going to work. We need the Lord to build us on Jesus. We need to build our lives on Jesus. This city, the city that the Lord built, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes, the psalmist proclaims. This is a beautiful city. This is what I want to be a part of. And so he prays that the Lord would take him and build him on to that city, build him on the foundation of Christ, not try and fit Christ into his life, but he prays that Christ would build him into the city of God. And we are the city of God, as Peter reminds us, the living stones, the temple of God. So our lives must be built on Christ. And for this reason, Christ came too, right? For this reason, Christ enters in order to build the city of God, in order to build our lives on him. Finally, the psalmist proclaims, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you." In Exodus 12, verses 3 through 6, we read, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." That was verse 3, Exodus 12, verse 3. And now we read also Exodus 12, verse 6. "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." Notice the Lord commanded the Israelites to choose the lamb which they were going to sacrifice on the Passover 4 days before. They were supposed to choose it on the 14th, and then they were supposed to sacrifice it. I'm sorry. They were supposed to choose it on the 10th, and then they were supposed to sacrifice it on the 14th, 4 days before. This day, Palm Sunday. This day when Christ rode into Jerusalem was 4 days before the Passover, when he said to his disciples, "Prepare the Passover, I will eat it with you in the upper room." This is the day when the Lord chose his lamb who was to be sacrificed later that week on Good Friday. And so the psalmist reminds us, blessed is he who comes, and in the Hebrew, it doesn't just say come, it says enters. In the Hebrew, it's the word enter. Blessed is he who enters in the name of the Lord. That is to say, this is the one who enters in the name, the one who, the Lamb whom the Lord has chosen to be the Passover Lamb. Jesus entered Jerusalem as the Lord's chosen lamb, the one whom the Lord had chosen to pay for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, the next verse, the psalmist says, "Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar." That is to say, now finally here is the true sacrifice for sin, the true sacrifice that the Lord has chosen. And again, what does the psalmist say again? He says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And again, he has given us light. And so the psalmist confesses, now is a new day, a new time, the beginning of something completely different. Because for many, many years, the Israelites had attempted to choose an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord and had failed. But now, finally, the Lord has chosen the one who will be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. How often haven't we tried to choose our own sacrifice to the Lord? How often haven't we tried to make right with the Lord by giving him something or by doing something? There's a story I remember from when I was little about a guy who, and you know, this is back in the days before electricity, and they would light the Christmas tree with candles, real live candles. And this kid, he did something wrong. But rather than confess his sins, because he was feeling guilty, well, the Christmas tree caught on fire, and he was the one who reached in and grabbed it and pulled it out of the house so the house wouldn't burn down, right? And sacrifices, his hand got burnt. And he figured, well, now he was even. He had paid for his sin. He didn't have to confess what he had done. So often we all often try to offer sacrifices to God, but they're never enough. We try and make up for our sins on our own, but they're never enough. And so we bear the guilt of our sins, but now here comes the sacrifice, the lamb that the Lord has chosen to bear the sin of the world. And our guilt is placed on him, and our sin is placed on him. And finally, we are released from that sin. We are released from that guilt. So no wonder the psalmist says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." No longer the night of guilt and sin, but now the day of forgiveness in Christ. No longer the psalmist says, he has given us light. No longer the darkness of our own works, but now the light and the glory of his righteousness for us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For this reason, Jesus also came to bear the sin of the world, to be the chosen Lamb of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed means he is coming to bring gifts. Oh, how very excited the people would get, right, when they saw the wagon bearing the name of Wells Fargo coming and bearing them gifts. But how much more excited we get when we come on Palm Sunday and we see the Lamb of God bearing the name of the Lord on his side, coming to bring us the gifts of the Lord. He enters to open the gates of righteousness so we may go in. He enters to build the city of God with us, to build us as the city of God, to build our lives on him and on God's righteousness. He enters as the chosen Lamb of God to bear the sins of the world. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.